Falling Rock suspends White Pass train service. And the Haines Assembly delays a decision on a rezone petition. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. One of Skagway's main tourist attractions is out of service today. White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad suspended service after a rock struck a bridge about 7 miles up the railroad track from town. White Pass official Tyler Rose says service should be restored in the next few days.
There was a rock strike on the bridge, and we're suspending service until we can have an assessment and make the necessary repairs.
At maximum, White Pass runs around 12 trains per day with about 500 passengers per train.
Our crews are mobilizing up there, and we hope to have this repaired as quickly as possible and restored to service.
Skagway has 4 ships in town today, bringing in nearly 10,000 visitors. There is one boat in Haines. The Haines Assembly has delayed a decision on a petition to rezone a portion of property along South Sawmill Road. It wants to give the Planning Commission more time to review a different solution. 2 organizations petitioned to have the zone changed from heavy industrial to rural mixed use: Tokchinook Watershed Council and Professional Property Management. The request to rezone all or part of the 61 acres near Jones Point went first to the Planning Commission, which asked the Assembly to deny the petition. Planning Commission Chair Rob Goldberg was absent from the meeting where that decision was made, but he told the Assembly it was the right one.
Rural mixed use will allow residences to come into that area, and when residences come in next to industrial, there's always conflict. And so I think having rural mixed use come into this area is just a recipe for future conflict. And I think it'll actually come back to bite the property owners who are there now.
Goldberg said there's a need for industrial area close to town, but he presented a possible solution: rezone the area as light industrial. He said that would allow for heavy industrial uses with a conditional use permit, but it would also allow for a broader array of uses to accommodate the current property owners. In its application to the borough, Tokchinook said the current zoning is preventing the organization from pursuing several goals, including developing trails and making the area a center for recreation, education, research, and conservation. Ben Kirkpatrick is president of the Tokchinook Board of Directors.
As a watershed council, I am not wed to rural mixed use. Rob Goldberg's suggestion sounds just fine. You can literally zone it whatever you like. We just have certain things we would like to do.
The other portion of land on the rezone petition is owned by Professional Property Management. It's mainly used as employee housing, office space, equipment storage, and a warehouse for Alaska Mountain Guides and Chilkat Guides. Sean Gaffney heads up those businesses.
We're going to have that land for decades. And when we sell it eventually, it's hard for me to consider that it would be sold to anybody for other than the use that's occurring there now. The zoning designation as it currently exists is something that we're just not going to put a dime into.
Right now, the property is split into 2 different zoning designations. Gaffney said making all of it rural mixed use would allow for consistency. And he said the heavy industrial designation is contradictory to the comprehensive plan. The Assembly postponed making a decision on the issue until the Planning Commission has the chance to take up the other possible solution to the zoning issues. A new exhibit at the Haines Sheldon Museum explores the story of wood in the Chilkat Valley, from timber extraction to manufacture and sale. The display is part of a series of exhibits to highlight work by local artists. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
Wood has been an integral part of industry in Haines for generations. Clinkets of the Chilkat Valley have relied on logs to carve canoes and household items, and wood strips for firewood and weaving. In the 19th century, some clinkets began trading wood with settlers for cash. Not long after, small mills were built to support construction by local canneries. But it wasn't until the arrival of John Schnabel in 1939 that the first large-scale lumber operation began. Schnabel Lumber Company had a significant impact on Haines' economy. reaching exports of 52 million board feet in 1968. Museum director Helen Alton says that by the 1990s, the mill industry tapered off due to market fluctuations and changing regulations on timber exports.
Not just in our community, but all throughout Southeast Alaska, it was a huge loss of jobs.
In spite of the loss of jobs in the timber industry, Southeast Alaskans have not lost touch with their lumberjack roots.
And as you know, at the state fair, we still have sawing through logs and walking on logs and things. So this logging culture is something that's still part of the community.
The decline of Southeast Alaskan sawmills hasn't halted wood-related industry in Haines. Several small-scale mills operate in the area, and numerous local companies use wood to create products that are shipped to customers around the world. Artistic carvings, canoe and kayak paddles, mirrors, cabinets, and chairs are just a few of the local items on display at the museum.
For us, manufacturing is more along the lines of a craftsman. Creating the skis and the furniture, whether it's one person or a couple people working on it, rather than a production line of people.
The products are made in many different styles, from traditional native to sleek and modern to purely utilitarian. Alton says that before there was more of an emphasis on timber export, where now the emphasis is on adding as much value as possible to timber harvested in the Chilkat Valley.
The more the log stays in our environment here, the more money it brings in. You have not only the jobs for cutting the wood, but then you've got the jobs for processing and then taking a piece of timber and making it into something that's a whole other job, and then selling that is another.
From Forest to Finish was created by Alaska Arts Confluence, a nonprofit dedicated to promoting art in the Chilkat Valley. The exhibit was selected by an external juror for the museum's six-week spotlight series, which allows local artists to temporarily display their work in the Elizabeth S. Hakkinen Gallery.
This show just appealed because it was talking about economic development, it was talking about the arts, it was talking about, you know, raw resource extraction and use. It's extremely topical and timely now with what's going on with the logging issue on the university lands.
The University of Alaska has proposed a 13,000-acre timber sale in the Haynesboro. The sale aims to produce 150 million board feet over 10 years. The proposal has been met with reactions of support and resistance from residents. From Forest to Finish opens this week at 4 p.m. during First Friday. It will be on display until mid-July. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.